Hello, you are listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. I am Reverend Nick Phillips, and today we are looking at Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, help us to come to you. Lift us up, show us your way, your will. Be near to us as we seek to be near to you. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, we're changing gears a little bit. We've spent the last few weeks looking at prayer, and now we're dropping into this middle of the journey for the people in the book of Exodus, the ongoing story of God's people and their journey in Egypt and beyond. Today is also World Communion Sunday, a day we share in communion together here at Carmen, but also realize we are sharing this meal with Christians all over the world. So what is a solitary act in that we're accepting the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ by taking the bread and the juice? It's also a communal act, a community act, that the Church of Jesus Christ, we do it together with millions of others around the world. That's what's beautiful about communion. We take the bread and the juice personally. We drink, we eat. Eating is a personal act. It's taking the nourishment of our own for our own bodies. We eat so we can live. But communion is more than just taking nourishment for our bodies. It's more than just the breaking down of the bread and the juice so we can extract the nutrients to strengthen us. Communion is nourishment for our souls as well. It is the acceptance that Jesus gave his life for ours, and that we are one with him in his death and alive with him in his resurrection. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans in chapter 6, he writes, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Part of communion is the realization that we are one with Christ, who gave his life for us. And by partaking in communion, we are accepting his ultimate sacrifice. There is a strong connection between communion and the Passover story we've read this morning. Today, as we read from Exodus, we are nearing the end of the Israelites' stay in Egypt. Moses has already seen the burning bush. God has already told him to go back to the Pharaoh and demand that his people be let go, to release them from slavery. And so Moses has gone. He's asked for the Israelites to be set free, but the Pharaoh won't have it. We're told his heart is hardened. Even after six vicious plagues have ravaged the country, Pharaoh will not let them go. So this morning we read that God is preparing for his final plague. The firstborn of every family will die. But God is willing to spare the Israelites of this pain. So he tells Moses what the people are to do in preparation for this night. God says, "Get an unblemished lamb, one that is perfect without any visible flaws, and slaughter it." He says, "Take its blood and spread it on your doorposts. Then you roast the lamb and you'll eat all of it. If there are any leftovers, you burn them. There's to be no sign of this lamb afterwards. You leave nothing behind." What I find neat about this story is that if your family cannot afford a lamb, or if your family has too much lamb for the size of your family, share it with your neighbors. Make sure everybody has access to the lamb. No one is to go without. It's all in preparation for this meal, this night, this plague, which institutes the Jewish holiday festival of Passover. It all starts thousands of years ago in Egypt, and it's still practiced today. So the simple question we might ask is, why is it called Passover? And it's got a simple answer. It's simple because God caused the plague to pass over the homes which had blood on its doorposts. As the plague descended on Egypt, and the death of the firstborn did not come to the Israelites who had followed the instructions. So it's very simple. It's Passover because God caused the plague to pass over the homes which followed the instructions. Did you know that Jesus cannot only be found in just the New Testament? If you look carefully when you read through the Old Testament, you can see glimpses of him. Now, there's the really obvious stuff, like the prophecies around his birth and his death that we pick up on Easter and Christmas. But there are many more connections between Jesus and the Old Testament than we might realize. And today, as we celebrate the sacrament of communion, we are remembering one of those connections. Jesus is called many things in the New Testament: the Son of God, the Son of Man, Messiah, Savior, and so on. In the Gospel of John, John the Baptist is in the River Jordan preparing people to meet their Savior, that Jesus is coming. And as Jesus is baptizing the people, he sees Jesus coming towards them, and what does he say? He says, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then the next day, John is sitting with some of his disciples, and he sees Jesus going by, and he says, "Here is the Lamb of God." Now, why would John call Jesus the Lamb of God? The lamb of the Passover meal for the Israelites is to ensure that the people within the home will live. The lamb has given its life for those who share in the meal. Today we will take the bread and the juice, which represent the bread and the wine of Jesus, which he shared with his disciples at the Last Supper. And at the Last Supper, what did Jesus call these things? "This is my body broken for you," as he handed around the bread. As he handed around the wine, he said, "This is my blood shed for you." Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, as the disciples ate together on the night before his execution. That night where they shared the Last Supper was the night of Passover. So just as the lamb of the Passover, it was a sign for those who were part of God's chosen people that they would be rescued, Jesus is the lamb for us. His death saves us. There are many plagues in the world right now, destroying people, destroying homes and families, destroying entire communities. These plagues are fueled by the sins of the world, our sins. God wants to protect us from sin. These plagues, which are destroying his beautiful creation. So what did he do? He sent us his Son. He sent us Jesus to show us how to live free and apart from the plagues of the world, from the sin of the world. This is really important. It's so important. Jesus gave of himself freely. Jesus is the unblemished lamb, which was sacrificed so that we may live. Jesus has no sin in his life. He is the perfect Son of God, both fully human and fully divine. Unlike the Passover lamb, Jesus chose to die for us. We didn't pick him out of the farm. We didn't take the knife to his body. We didn't smear his blood on our doorways. Jesus chose it for himself. He gave his own body, his own blood, freely. The Passover lamb, he had no choice. He had no voice in any of this. He was picked from the flock. Jesus chose himself. He was sent here to give his life for our own. is his blood which stained the cross on which he hung. It was his body that hung broken on that tree. The perfect man, the perfect Son of God, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world for those who live in him. If you remember last week, we talked about the importance of abiding in Jesus so that he could abide or live in us. When we take the body and the blood of Christ in the bread and in the wine, we are marking ourselves with him. We are making a visible sign that we need God to protect us from the evils, the plagues, the sin of this world. We are asking God to help us live, not just a life here on this earth, but also to avoid the death which comes to us when we live lives of sin. Communion is not just a little snack to hold us over through a longer church service till we get home. Communion is the acknowledgement that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb who gave his life for us. For the Jewish community, Passover is a celebration. It's a celebration of being rescued. With the final plague that enveloped Egypt that night, when all the firstborn sons died, the young men who were chosen to grow up to be the leaders of the nation and their families, what happened there was God showed he was serious about saving those who follow him. Jesus, in his death, showed that God wants to rescue us too. All those things Jesus taught, he meant it. He meant for us to know our Father, our God, who loves us. He meant for us to live lives of love and gratitude in service to him. He meant for us to love him and to share that love with others we meet on our way. The world is a tough place to live right now, and churches are realizing it. Churches are trying to figure out how they can find, they're trying to find ways in which they can reach out to the communities that surround them. For some churches, they're willing to give up things that were once important to them to be more attractive to people who pass by their doors. They're trying to be like the world around us. For a very, very small percentage of those churches, it might work. They might have a few extra people around once in a while. But in doing so, they're also sacrificing their own relationship with God. There are churches who have not just given up on tradition, but they have given up on core values of what it means to be a Christian in the world today. I mean, in extreme cases, we have churches who have given up God in their buildings and in their services. This is not what God wants his church to be. God wants us to be even more faithful. He wants us to get even closer to him, to live in him, and to look to him for what we do next, not what the world wants us to do. What it may mean is that we need to stand up against some of the popular themes of the day. And one that draws my attention a lot lately is gambling. As we see the world captivated with chasing aces. That's not right. Gambling destroys families. And maybe sometimes we need to stand up against it. How can we ignore the teachings of Jesus to love one another when he did what he did? We can't ignore what he did. How can we simply ignore the fact that he gave his life so that we can be free from our sin? God's love for his creation extends back to creation when he provided for Adam and Eve, even though they chose to disobey him and eat the fruit from the tree. They were cast from the garden, but God made sure they had what they needed to survive. In that moment of disobedience, they moved from abundant life to a life of death. Yet God was still there. In Jesus, God provides the ultimate sacrifice so that we may know of His abundant love. In Jesus, God tells us there's no other way we can earn our salvation because He gives it to us. All God asks for is you. He gave His Son for you. Can you give yourself to Him? Part of receiving communion is that together we are proclaiming Jesus is central to our lives and we have died to our sinful ways, just as Jesus died for our sin. We are proclaiming Jesus is our Savior and that in His death we have received pardon and protection from God. We are proclaiming Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and we don't need anyone or anything else to save us. The Passover lamb has been replaced. The Lamb of God has taken it, has taken that place. And as John reminds us, this Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world when we follow Him. There has never been a greater sacrifice than God laying down His life for our own. Jesus, the firstborn Son of God, died in our place. At Passover, the Israelites were spared losing their children, but yet God was willing to sacrifice His firstborn son. We are followers of Jesus, a people who, by our proclamation of faith, in the simple elements of bread and juice are declaring our willingness to die from sin so that we may live with Him. What a powerful statement to make this morning with millions of other Christians around the world. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus died so that you may live? Do you believe He is the perfect Lamb of God who saves you? We are the children of God brought together into His family through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. So may we walk from this church remembering this sacrifice and all the blessings we share because of what He has done. The perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has done this for us. May we know Him more and more. And may we welcome Him into our hearts and homes this day and forevermore. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come into Your presence here today, seeking to understand the depth of Your sacrifice. You so freely gave of Yourself so that we may have eternal life in Your presence and be freed from the power of sin in our own lives. And so, God, we ask that we grow in our understanding. May we see the joy of living in You and with You as we turn from darkness to Your light. We give You all thanks and praise, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.